Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Rita Flood.
Yeah, Father, thank you for all that you've been speaking to me this week, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that as I yield myself to you, Jesus, that you will speak to your people. Lord, it's your word, it's your work, and I just want to be that vessel, Lord God, through which you can speak. Lord, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glasses on? Okay. I'm okay. Yeah, there's a great new song by Kim Walker Smith from Jesus Culture. It's called You Define Me. I love it. We sang it at the prayer meeting on Friday morning for the first time. And I'm just going to read some of the words because they just really spoke to me and encouraged me. It says, no whisper can accuse, no rumour can undo the words that you speak over me. No lie can ever break, no shame can ever steal the words that you speak over me. Only your words define me. You tell me who I am. No fear can hold me hostage, no lie can keep me bound. My God has the final word. Amen. Yeah, we declare that, Lord God. What you say about us is the final word. And I was thinking, the enemy so wants to rob us, doesn't he, of our destiny, and how he loves to whisper his lies to us. I was thinking the other day, how much time do I waste listening to the lies and accusations? But God has reminded me several times this week that when I agree with the lies, I'm actually giving them power. And when I realise that, I just realise how stupid that is. Because whatever you feed becomes the dominant influence in your life. And we know it, don't we? It's just walking in the truth of that. And sometimes, I must admit, the enemy's voice can be more familiar to me than God's. And that's not good. Because the more we listen to the lies, we start to believe them and we end up believing that the lie is the truth. I need a mind shift. And that happens as I starve the lies and feed on God's truth instead. And as long as I continue to believe what he says about me, then I'll walk in the truth and see that truth become life to me and in me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In the natural, we become hungry, don't we, when we don't eat? But it's the other way around in the kingdom. The more we eat of God's word, the more hungry we get. Love it. And you don't put any weight on. Love it. Living in the fullness of our identity and who God says we are pleases God and attracts his presence to us. Even though Adam and Eve forfeited the keys of authority when they sinned in Eden, Jesus won it back with his victorious resurrection. And in Matthew 28, Jesus said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. It's that word, isn't it? We don't always like. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Every time God tells somebody to do something that they may not think is possible, it's too big, too hard, God always ends by saying, I will be with you. He said it to Jacob, he said it to Moses, he said it to Joshua, he said it to Gideon, even when he was hiding in the wine press, he said it to Isaiah, to name just a few. And he still says it to each one of us today. I am with you. You see, God doesn't actually need us, but he chose us in Christ since the beginning of all time to partner with him in making all things new. He sees the potential we carry and willingly chose to share his power and authority with us. Jesus himself has restored us to a position of power and authority and has entrusted his precious Holy Spirit to us, and we are significant to him. Though the enemy challenges our identity, we are called to embrace the significance that God has spoken over each of our lives. The Father sees Jesus in me, and he sees Jesus in each one of you. And he has made us, by his precious blood, perfectly fit to carry his presence, to reach out and bless those around us. And even in our weakness, God remains strong and is pleased to make himself known to us and through us, using our unique personalities and giftings to shine his glory. We're all different, aren't we? And God has put something different in each one of us. And as we listen to him and do what he says, then there are people that are going to be affected by what Jesus wants to say to them through us. He's promised to be with us always, and in having confidence in who we are in Jesus is vital as we stand against the lies the enemy speaks into our hearts and minds. And I was thinking about the scripture in Acts 19:15, where the seven sons of Sceva were going around trying to invoke the name of Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And the evil spirit said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" So Jesus has given us authority over the lies, and we must be strong and say, "No, I'm not going to believe that lie you're whispering to me. That is not what Jesus says about me." Confession time now. Last Sunday morning, I was feeling a bit off. Nothing was particularly wrong, but I knew my heart wasn't truly engaged in worship as it should be, because I'd started to listen to the voice of the enemy saying, "You're singing these words, but you know you're not singing them with all your heart. How can you sing those words when you're not feeling those truths right now?" But then I realised I didn't have to believe his lies, so I chose to do what Faye said. She said, "Choose to shout aloud no to the enemy." Of course, I did it in my head. I didn't shout it out loud, of course. That would have surprised you, wouldn't it? But yeah, I just chose to say, "No, I'm not having that." The Holy Spirit within me longs to worship. And just because my mind and my emotions may feel otherwise, I choose to allow the Holy Spirit within me to express worship, because Jesus is always worthy of my worship, no matter how I might feel. So I will yield my soul, I will yield my mind, my will and my emotions to worship, because that is the real me. The enemy says, "Oh, yeah," but the real me is Jesus in me. And by his Holy Spirit, I can use my body to worship him, because that is the real me, no matter what the enemy says. Yeah, so when I feel a bit rubbish, when you feel a bit rubbish, just choose to believe that Jesus is the only one that defines you, and we allow him to have that final word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And something else that God's been speaking to me this week, I want to share with you. We had the privilege of listening to some Bill Johnson teaching. He's the senior pastor from Bethel Church in Redding, California, and I know Helen has been listening to him quite a bit. He's such an anointed man of God, isn't he? And God is moving so powerfully in their midst, and I hear some stuff and I think, wow, that's amazing. So I just want to share some key things that really impacted me, and I pray that I'll be able to communicate to them in a way that you'll be encouraged to. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, but I just want to share some key things that, as I say, really impacted me. Amen. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. So let's open our Bibles and look at Genesis 28. And we're going to look at Jacob's dream that he had at Bethel. And we're going to read from verse 10. I'm reading from the NIV. "Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, is that word again? I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And I hadn't really noticed before that the stairway, or sometimes it's translated as the ladder, was actually resting on the earth. It wasn't a ladder that came from heaven to earth, but it was accessible from the earth and able to reach heaven. And angels were ascending and descending. And that, to me, is supernatural activity. And God spoke, and he reminded Jacob of generational promises. And then when Jacob awoke, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid. I guess he had a holy, reverent fear, and he proclaimed, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. Interesting that the house of God is described as a gate of heaven. And Bill Johnson spoke about this passage of scripture because he said it's the first mention of the house of God in the Bible, and as such, it's essential that we pay close attention to what is being communicated in terms of God's original intent and purpose for his house. When we think about the house of God, we automatically think church, we think building, we think people. But in this passage, there's no building and there's no other people. So that blew my mind for a start. And the house of God, it says, was characterised by three things: an open heaven, angelic activity, and the voice of God. And we later hear an urgent cry from God's people, which is recorded in Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. So let's see what happened. Let's look at another scripture in the New Testament, Luke chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse 21 and 22. And this is where we have the record of Jesus being baptized. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And Mark chapter 1 verse 10 says of Jesus' baptism, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And so when Jesus was baptized, the heavens broke open and Jesus himself fulfilled what Jacob had seen in his dream in Genesis 28. He was the fulfillment of the house of God. He is the house of God. And when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open. There was supernatural activity, and the voice of God was heard. Those same three things. Jesus didn't actually need to be baptized because he was without sin. So his baptism was not a sign of him needing redemption, but it was an illustration for us. He was baptized because he wanted to show all mankind what is possible when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person. Let's now look at chapter 1 of John. John chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And when I looked at that last verse in verse 51, my Bible note says that you, when Jesus spoke you, he's talking plural. He wasn't just talking to Nathanael. It didn't just mean that Nathanael himself would see these things. But I believe it was Jesus' desire is that all who follow him would see these things as part of the normal Christian life. And I love the fact that in this scripture, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's easier, isn't it, to think of the Son of God where angels ascend and descend on the Son of God. But here, Jesus particularly refers to himself here as the Son of Man. And again, I'm reminded that he's modelling all that's possible for those who would live under an open heaven. I just felt that Jesus wants us to live in that revelation that there is an open heaven over each one of us. As we are born again and filled with his Spirit, nothing on earth or in heaven can separate the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit lives in us, then there is nothing that can separate you either from that open heaven. Bill talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And the challenge was, how would we walk if we had a physical dove resting on our shoulders? Very carefully, I'd say. And when I think of a dove, I have in mind a bird that's very sensitive. And I guess that's key, isn't it? We must walk being very sensitive to the truth that the Holy Spirit is in us and rests upon us. Therefore, we have to be mindful of how we live our daily lives, how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, and to be aware of not doing anything that would offend or grieve that precious Holy Spirit who's upon us. And Bill also spoke about the first coming of the Holy Spirit upon the believers who had gathered in the upper room in obedience to Jesus' command to wait in Jerusalem until the power from on high came upon them. I know we know this scripture, don't we? But let's have a look at it again. It's Acts 2, as if I needed to remind you where it was. Yeah, I just love that picture of the believers being together. They've been meeting together daily, praying together, eating together, everyone together waiting with expectation to receive something that Jesus himself had promised. That they were all together of one mind, one heart, and together for that one purpose. So reading from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. I won't read the next few verses. But both Jews and converts in verse 11 were there who had converted to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And we were looking at this scripture. A sound came from heaven and the Holy Spirit rested upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. I had in my mind that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but I hadn't seen that the Holy Spirit rested upon them and filled them. It was just a reminder of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us and within us. I don't think I'd seen that before. And verse 6 describes how a crowd came together in bewilderment. And verse 7 talks about the people being utterly amazed. And verse 12 again says the people were amazed and perplexed and wondered, what does this mean? People came together in bewilderment, not just because they heard people speaking in other tongues, but because they'd heard a sound they hadn't recognised or understood, but wanted more. The sound was the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing over and coming to rest upon the believers who were together in unity as each heart was yielded and submitted in obedience to Jesus. And as I read that and as I heard that, I had a picture in my head of the believers' lives actually bowed in submission to God. And as the Holy Spirit came upon them, that made a sound. And in my mind, I wonder what it's like. It's like the Holy Spirit, when breath comes over the reed of a flute or breath is blown over pan pipes, doesn't it make a beautiful sound? I mean, I don't really know what the sound of the Spirit sounds like. But all I know is that there was amazement and bewilderment, and the sound caused people to stop whatever they were doing and gather together. And I believe that sound must have awakened something within them, because they came to where the believers were gathered and, after hearing Peter speak, cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" That must have been so powerful. And I must admit, when I heard Bill speak about the sound of the Holy Spirit coming on the believers and causing them to stop what they were doing, I got really excited, and it really impacted me. Because a few years ago, when I was part of the worship team in the really olden days, we really felt that God was speaking to us and encouraging us to believe that as we worship individually and corporately, we produce a sound in the Spirit that rings over the place where we worship. And I remember then a picture that came into mind, and I physically saw people washing their cars, and there was a sound, and people stopped what they were doing. They looked up, and people dropped down what they were doing, and they started to move. They started to move towards the sound. They didn't understand what they'd heard, but they'd heard an unusual sound and they were being drawn towards that sound to find out more. And maybe some of you still remember, it might have been 1998 when Richard Mabry came to this church and gave a prophecy, which was primarily to our worship team. And one of the key words that was spoken was that there would be songs of worship written from a heart of intimacy with God that would break the back and the neck of the enemy. We haven't seen the fullness of that promise yet, but I know in time we will. And who knows what effect that will have on the lives of the people here in Boston and the surrounding areas that we pray for. See it in your spirit and long for it to come. Yeah, I'm so privileged to be part of this house. When the first leaders prayed about what to call this church, and God gave them the name Elohim, nobody knew what it meant for a start. and had to look it up. But now we know it's God's own name. This church, this house of God, is privileged to be called by God's own name. And to me, that is amazing. Yeah, and each one of us is here for such a time as this. God has given each one of us an assignment that is intentional and time specific. He didn't choose us to be here in Moses' day or Elijah's day, but he chose us to be here and now. So he chose us to be here at this particular point in time in history with a specific purpose, and that purpose is to carry his precious Holy Spirit everywhere we go, partnering with him to bring his kingdom to earth. He's given us power, he's given us authority to release his presence wherever we go. In fact, our ultimate mission is to carry his presence until earth looks like heaven. That's a massive call, but that's God's heart. And so with such a great commission, no wonder the enemy tries to rob, steal and destroy the destiny of this church. Yeah, we've gone through some tough times, but thanks be to God who has delivered us and brought us safely through this far. And I'm trusting that as we continue to seek God together, he will be faithful to complete that work that he started. And just I personally want to bless each one of you for your faithfulness to continue to stand together and to be strong in his mighty power through every testing time. Amen. Amen. So, what do we do with what we've heard today? I've been able to communicate God's heart in some small way. I mean, for me personally, I believe that God has given me fresh revelation of what he considers a house of God looks like. We're all called, aren't we? This is a house of God. And each one of us is a house of God. Yeah, and I realise afresh that there is an open heaven. I know over the years we've talked and God has spoken to us about there being an open heaven. And I must admit, I'd sort of lost some of that revelation, but for me personally, I believe that God's reminding me again that there is an open heaven over each one of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and as we all come together, that is of even greater significance. And Jesus wants us to consider it normal to hear his voice, and when we pray, to believe and expect there to be supernatural exchanges between earth and heaven. Because I haven't read anywhere in the scriptures where God has shut the heavens. So it's still open. It's still open. And yeah, Jesus wants us to expect him. Us to expect him to move. Yeah, shall we pray? Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you for that fresh revelation, Lord God, of what your house looks like. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have rendered open the heavens. Lord, thank you that you want us to see you at work, Lord, as we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious voice. Lord, we so need you. We so need your presence, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the plans that you have for this church. Lord, thank you for bringing us safe this far. Yeah, Lord, lead us in the way that we should go. Lord, enable us to yield ourselves more to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we recognize that of ourselves we can do absolutely nothing, but with you all things are possible. Lord, would you help us to be more sensitive to your voice? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We so need you, Lord. So need you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that as you lead us to pray for this precious village, Lord, in which you have positioned us, Father, we trust that yeah, at your time, oh God, you will awaken that which you've deposited in the people in this place and in the surrounding villages, Lord, that we are praying for. Father, help us to do our part in being yielded and submitted and listening for your voice. Lord, enable us to remember that your Holy Spirit rests upon us and you have filled us with your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, enable us to be so aware of your presence, Lord God. Father, would you put a guard over our mouths so that the words that we speak are going to encourage and build one another up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so good. You are so faithful. And we love you. Yeah, teach us your ways, O God. Cause us to walk in your truth and give us an undivided heart that we would fear your name, Jesus. And give us that authority that you've given us, Lord, over all the powers of darkness. For that enable us to listen to your voice and to be able to shout a loud no to the enemy when he speaks lies and accusations into my minds and our hearts. Yes. Lord God, you have the final word. Jesus, you define us. And we thank you, Lord God. Yes. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.